Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Peter Gammons joins us. Peter, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing really well, thanks.
All right, Peter, tell me what's up with the Red Sox right now as the Yankees and them continue their chase, or the Yanks continue their chase, both solidly in the playoffs, but playing for the division and the right to play Cleveland and Houston. What's going on with the Red Sox?
Well, there really isn't a lot that changes with them. You know, they're still trying to figure out. I think he throws a simulated game tomorrow and probably one more time on the weekend, and then they'll put him in the game. But the question is going to be, how do they use David Price? I think it's very hard to be able to say, like, Garrett Richards with the Angels was able to come back three innings, four innings. He can get up to five or six. But I'm not sure there's that place. For one thing, the Red Sox are tighter in a race. Secondly, they're, you know, they can't afford to lose some of these games. Going to a bullpen too early, because their bullpen isn't as deep as the Yankees and or Cleveland. So that's one thing. I think they have to decide on who's going to be in their bullpen. They also have to decide, I mean, just watching the stuff, I went back both over Pitch FX and video, watching Doug Pfister from 2014 when he won.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. Considering he was cast adrift, he has been unbelievable. He really has.
He just, you know, he's always fascinated because, I mean, he won 16 games that shut out the Giants, eventual world champions in 2014 for Washington. Throwing 88 to 90, 88 to 91. That's what he's throwing now, 89 to 91. But what he did when he came over to the Red Sox, Brian Bannister sort of oversees the pitching, got him to move across to the first base side of the rubber, became more cognizant of throwing across his body rather than straight to the plate, which is what he did last September in Houston when he got absolutely hammered. And you see, now you see the movement is much better. Hitters don't pick the ball up once again. He really has come up with, rediscovered how to really confuse hitters because they don't see the ball well often. And also, it enables him to throw his curveball from a number of different angles. So, I mean, my guess is, given his postseason history and how good he's been, I think he's going to be in their rotation, which means a guy like Rodriguez might go to the bullpen. And if you have Price and Rodriguez in the bullpen, maybe they become your two left-handers and it lengthens out the bullpen a lot more.
Yeah, I can see that, and it does. It helps them. And, you know, they need Ramirez to be hot because they don't have that guy in the lineup. They don't have that scary hitter in the lineup. You know, they don't. I mean, I like Betts, but, you know, they need another guy. And if Ramirez is on, he can be the guy. But, you know, you just don't know what he's going to do in a big spot.
I completely agree. I mean, I know that Chili Davis, other people that I respect, say he's going to have a big postseason, but it's sort of been saying that all season, and it hasn't happened. I mean, the production for one of the different analytic statistics used, which is actually pretty good, they have actually the weakest four or five holes in any American League lineup, and that's an issue. I mean, it's especially the way Betts now gets to, when the Indians pitched him last year in the playoffs, they threw everything out over the plate, up in the way, down in the way, and he hits fastball in the inner half of the plate so well. Kind of changed how he hits. I think he'll make the adjustment next year, but that and the fact that Bogarts has struggled so much since he hurt his hand and regained the power in those hands. I mean, they need a big guy. I mean, it's... And we've seen what that one guy can mean. I mean, you look at Arizona, who was hitting .213 against lefties when Mike Hazel went out and got J.D. Martinez, and then see what Arizona's done since. that's one of the biggest trades of the year, because he's given them something that they completely lacked, and it's changed the whole offensive pattern of that team.
All right, since you went west, how concerned are the Dodgers? Now, they have to be concerned. They can laugh. They can whistle by the graveyard. But it's okay to take a couple of days off. This has now reached crazy proportions. It has to have rocked that team. It has to have taken away some of the karma they had. How worried are the Dodgers?
I think where they've gone from a month ago, you know, talking about, you know, changing everything and winning the World Series, now they're a lot more concerned about Washington and even Arizona, if they play Arizona or Colorado in the first round of the playoffs as a wild card team. I mean, that's a little scary. And I personally think right now, and I may be crazy, but I think it's gone from the Dodgers being the team to beat to the Nationals being the team to beat in the National League.
Interesting. I mean, they went from being the hottest team anybody's ever seen to just going into a incredible slump. I mean, it has been unbelievable to lose this many games as they have. I mean, it's just, they actually need to win a couple of games now.
They absolutely do. I mean, Kershaw had one bad game, but I'll get that. But, you know, the rest of their starting pitchers, Richill has been good, 5 or 6 innings, 2 or 3 runs each time. But that middle relief has become very inconsistent. The rest of the starting pitching has not been very good. And we saw it with Maeda last night. He wasn't good. You never know quite what Ryu's going to get, where he's going to get you. So it's a matter of regathering. And they need to set it all up in front of Jansen. They can't count on going into the postseason and bringing Jansen in the seventh inning all the time. I mean, now you and I may say, if we're going to be sitting at home watching the Dodgers, we don't want Pedro Baez in the game, but that's just that's for entertainment purposes only. But it is worrisome, because I think those other teams in the National League are much better than people think, with the possible exception of the Cubs, who are really worried. Because it's great to say, boy, we were so great. But there comes a point where, and listen, let's face it, they spent from November 1st until about May 1st basking in the glory of doing what no one else had done. But there comes a point where that's over. And actually, I remember going through this in 2005, and I think it was one of the most miserable years of Terry Francona's life. The Red Sox win 2004, end the curse, all that. And the next year, I mean, the players were, well, we ended the curse. I mean, this is what we are. And I mean, there was a point, as you know, managers don't really get to pick the All-Star team. But a lot of players were grousing about Terry had forgotten how he got his World Series ring and all that.
Right.
He didn't pick all these players. And I it was one of the ugliest years I remember. And I don't think there's the ugliness that there is with the Cubs, but there's just sort of a, oh, don't worry, we'll get hot. Well, here we are now, and they still have to play, I think, 3 series against Milwaukee and St. Louis between the two of them.
Yeah, they haven't, and they just haven't gotten it going all year. There's absolutely no question. And talking about Francona, how about the Indians? I mean, trying to put this into a modern perspective, the amazing thing is the number of shutouts. I mean, it's the way they've pitched. And they came in to play the Yankees, and they played a doubleheader because of a rainout, and the next day. And they buried the Yankees. I mean, the games were over in the second inning. I mean, they were just pummeling the Yankees. And since then, they have not lost a game. And I tell you, but the thing that is crazy is they have shut out teams like 7 times.
I know. I mean, one of the things, I mean, I do, you know how you've heard it millions of times, how pitching coaches and managers talk about controlling the strike zone. And I've always looked at that because I sort of grew up in the business. And now, you know, listening to that, and now you can quantify it off certain sites and see strikeout walk ratio. And the Indians this year have the best strikeout walk ratio, controlling the strike zone ratio of any team in the history of baseball. And you see it. I mean, they when Trevor Bauer in 11 starts goes above two walks, I think two times, you go, man, this whole team is bought into what they do and what they teach and the patience they have in doing it. And I've talked a lot to people about, because Bauer, I had a guy say to me after watching him last Sunday night on ESPN, where that two-seamer, the curveball, and all his pitches, said to me, over the next 5 years, I would take Trevor Bauer over Gerrit Cole, which to me was like a stunning thing to say. I mean, even though they were, Bauer was the pitcher of the year, college pitcher of the year, their junior year, draft year at UCLA. It's always been, well, Cole was really special and Bauer was a little bit goofy. And now all of a sudden, in his seventh year of his pro career, he may be better than Cole. And I find that really interesting. I think when you're a small market team like the Indians, you have to be patient. You have to go find Corey Kluber when he's 37 and 49 in the Padres system and develop him. But I think that there's talking to friends of Bauer and talking to friends of some of those other pitchers, Terry Francona and the rest of that staff, and they are so patient because they know they can't go out and pay $20 million for a starting pitcher. So they develop them and they stay with them, and there's a patience. And I think with patience comes trust, because I find those players buy into that team as much as any team that I think I've ever been around in baseball.
And Kluber's going to win, who pitches tonight, is 15-4, is going to win the Cy Young Award. I mean, he's been unbelievable. He's just had a remarkable season. It's just amazing what he's done. And they're in, and what they've done is just, I mean, listen, it's past even anything you think about. I mean, you know, you're just shocked that it keeps going as far as it's gone. But they have established themselves. They've gotten past Houston in the one-loss record, which is remarkable. And they're going to be very hard to keep out of the World Series this year.
I agree. I mean, I actually did pick them before the season, but I mean, I'm not a believer in predictions. So
I did too. I picked a rematch, actually. I picked the Cubs and Indians to have a rematch.
Yeah, the only thing I did too, and the only difference was I picked the Indians to win this year. I picked the Cubs last year.
But I don't think the Cubs are going to get there now.
No, I completely agree. Again, I think Washington's really scary. When Gio Gonzalez was having the year of his life, with Scherzer, and those three relievers.
What are you going to do with Dusty, though, during the playoffs when he needs to make a pitching change, though?
Well, I think the depth there. He's got five pretty good relievers.
That's not it. We all know he's had his problems.
I know. But I think the thing that would screw it up is if Madsen broke down again. Because he's been really good. But if he breaks down, then, you know, you maybe overuse a couple of other guys. And then it gets to be a problem. I mean, Scherzer, you figure, will get to the eighth inning every start.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Strasburg will get eighth inning most every start. I'm not convinced that Gio is as good as what he's thrown this year, but his stuff should play in October. So it's going to be fun to watch. But I agree with you. I think, and I can tell you this, I know that the Cubs themselves are really worried about this now. I mean, all of a sudden they realize, you know, I mean, Milwaukee goes in, they lose Nelson, diving back at the first base, their best pitcher, and they're still, you know, they're still beating them up. And the Cardinals are really playing well with their young pitchers.
They really are. They were an awful team when I saw them earlier this year. Just an awful team. It's amazing what they've done. But it's that culture again there. We're talking with Peter Gammons. Let me give you leave with one that will interest the fan base. If the Marlins are serious and they are going to trade Stanton, which I still don't believe, but let's say they are serious. Are the Red Sox ready to put together the package that will bring Stanton to Boston?
I think they would do the package. I'm not sure ownership is going to take on that contract. I thought for a month or so, if they do it, and I agree with you, I think it's very hard to come in as new owners in Miami and trade a guy who hit 60 home runs.
Well, how about talking about having a $55 million payroll, though?
Yeah, I think that may have been something that some members of the outgoing administration were leaking to the Miami Herald to kind of make the whole Jeter group look worse. But the news today that the ballpark is undergone some damage makes it even worse for them. But
yep.
They can't compete and be competitive in any way and keep Stanton and not have a payroll of at least $100 million. They have to do that. They're just going to have to you absorb some losses to build back the market. And as much as I personally think the world of Jeffrey Loria, I realize that people there don't think the same way I do.
No, they sure don't.
No. It will really help for Jeffrey to be gone. And I'm sad to say that because I do like him, but I think it's really hard to do that. Maybe they can move a couple, one of the other outfielders, and the guy they could probably get the most for is the catcher. So maybe you do something like that, but. There are people that are there that know that they
sounds
really need
like the
it.
Phillies want to take a run at Stanton also.
Yeah, and they've got a really good minor league system right now. I mean, they could do something very interesting, and he might be killer in that ballpark.
Oh, could you imagine him there? Oh my God!
I mean, it's amazing what he does in Miami, which is a tough hitter's park.
Yeah, could you imagine you put him in Camden Yards or in Philadelphia or Cincinnati or something like that?
It would. I mean, it would be incredible. He is not going to be in for a total rebuild and him being the only guy there. So they have to figure that out. And I think Derek will sit down with him and he's going to probably tell him, look, my preference is going to be, I don't want to sit here and start losing 95 games again. But that may take some reworking of his contract too. So maybe that gets done. I thought the Giants would be a player, but I got pressure from Giants people that as much as the owner would love to have him as a draw, now that, especially in the outfield, they're weak. They don't want to take on that contract.
And did the Red Sox have any real interest in Cabrera, or is that not true?
I don't think they would. No.
Okay. Because there were rumors that they were looking at him a month ago, but I don't know if they were real or not.
I don't think they were. They've been very. They've been very serious about staying under the cap so that they don't have to pay, double the contract.
Yep.
And I get it. I mean, I understand that. If I'm in ownership, I don't want to have to, if I pay somebody $150 million, I don't want to have to pay $300 million. And I get it. I get why the Yankees have done it. And I think it's sensible business. But at the same time, I mean, they were restricted in what they were doing for trades. As it turned out, Dombrowski did a really good job getting Fister, getting a couple of other guys, Nunez, a couple of others that have helped them a lot without it costing anything.
Nunez will hit a million line drives, but I'll tell you something, and it happened already in the Yankee series. He will cost you with that glove. He can't field.
No question. I mean, he's a very good offensive utility player. But it's not like, I've thought about this a lot because the guy that they have, Devin Marrero, is an absolute magician, one of the premier defensive. He's not Simmons, but he's one of the best shortstops in the league defensively. But are you better off with a 200-hitting shortstop who plays third and second as a gold glove caliber at each position, or having Nunez who gets a lot of hits and runs around, but in ninth inning of a game with two outs?
Kill you.
Yes.
Can't catch a pop-up. Yeah, I mean, I like Nunez. I do. He's a good kid, but he's not a good glove. He really and he couldn't throw Sanchez out on that ground ball, which was crazy. And he also dropped a pop-up at second the other night, when he was here. So it makes it tough. Peter, it's going to be interesting down the stretch. We'll talk. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Talk to you again.
It.
Okay, Peter Gammons, as we get ready for Yankee baseball tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.